St. Paul writes in the letter to the Romans, we heard it today, "If then we have died with Christ, we shall also live with him. Consequently, you too must think of yourselves as dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus." Living for God in Christ Jesus. If you're a responsible or intentional person at all, hopefully you've asked the question, what am I living for? To realize that my life has been a gift. I didn't create me. I exist because God wanted me to exist. He thought I might like existing. God gave me all these gifts, opportunities, and that I have to be a good steward of what God has given me, that I owe him something in a certain way. What am I living for? To be able to ask that question so that I don't cheapen my own existence, my own life, but that I actually make good on the gifts that God has given me, the opportunities he's placed before me, and certainly not to throw it all away and just to do my own thing. What am I living for? This week, this day, this hour, this year, what am I living for? And maybe that is a little bit confusing for us, to die to sin and to live for God in Christ Jesus. Or Jesus puts it a different way in the gospel today. He says, "Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." That's a total paradox. It doesn't really make complete sense in our minds. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. To actually lose our lives, to hand them over, to surrender them to God. We don't like losing our lives. It's a supernatural instinct. Very natural instinct. It's a very natural instinct to want to preserve, to keep, to control. We don't know what it looks like, and it's really a fear of the unknown. We don't know what it would look like for us to actually surrender to God, to say, "I know you know best, Lord, and I need you just to show me the way, and I'll follow." Or what might he ask of me if I actually handed my life over to him, if I let him lead? And we get scared by the possibilities. And so we kind of retreat and say, "I want to trust God, but only this much. That's enough, Lord, right? That'll get me to heaven, surely. Like, I'm a good person." But Jesus says, "Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." St. John Paul II says, "Life with Christ is a wonderful adventure, but some of us are afraid to leave the threshold of the front door because we don't know what's beyond that threshold. That we're afraid to take the first step because we don't know where it leads. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." One necessary and unavoidable part of our life is that we necessarily have to live for the next thing. If you don't want to make friends at parties, I suggest this. That you ask people their motivations. Ask them why they do the things that they do over and over again. Why do you get out of the bed in the morning? Why do you get out of bed? "I get out of bed so I can get ready for work." And you say, "Why?" "So that I can go to work and provide for my family." "Why?" "I told you, it's not fun." "Yeah." "Because I love them." "Well, why?" "Because they make me happy and fulfilled that I'm living out this good life." And if you drill down deep enough, if you ask the why question enough, you're going to drill down to somebody saying, "This makes me happy," because it's something that's written so profoundly in the depths of our heart that God wrote that there, and all of us are living for happiness. And maybe we search for it in the wrong ways, but at the essence of our being, we want to be happy, and that's what God's made us for. And that's only going to be completed in the halls of heaven, where Jesus welcomes us into full communion. The communion we share at Mass is a small portion, a foretaste, an appetizer, an antipasto, if you will, to what we're going to experience in heaven. True communion, utter bliss, that all of the desires of our heart are going to be fulfilled. But if I know people, and if I know myself, I'm not often motivated by love of others, or I'm not often motivated to pursue the ultimate things. I'm often motivated just to avoid the hard things. I avoid painful things more than pursuing what's most real and lasting. I avoid the hard conversations because it makes me uncomfortable. I avoid being the worst dressed person at the party because, you know, whatever. But honestly, I look good most of the time. I avoid negative feelings, and so I numb out by watching too much Netflix or spending too much time online. We don't want these negative experiences, and so we avoid. And ultimately, what we tend to avoid is the cross that we're being invited to. In today's gospel, Jesus tells us, "Whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." You don't get to not have a cross. You can't choose that. You're a Christian. You follow Christ, who went to the cross for you and for me. And as we continue to pursue the ultimate, the real things, we need to be able to lose our lives. But what we often do in avoiding the painful things, the hard things, we don't actually lose our lives. We keep our own miserable lives and we limp along, often just making incremental improvements, but often more than two steps forward. It's often one step back without God. That I actually put myself into more of a pit so long as I don't surrender myself to him, so long as I don't hand it over to him. But that's not the standard that we're called to. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That following Christ means losing my life in him. And that he becomes the ultimate point at which my life is centered. That my life has the most meaning only in relation to Christ. That I find my most robust identity in relation to him. That you can say to your friends, "Yes, I'm a Christian, and I am woefully prone to sin every moment of every single day, and I'm so fickle, and I'm so weak, but God is strong, and God is faithful. And every day I turn to him, and he provides for me, and he guides me, and he sustains my being, and he loved me so much that he sent his son into the world to die for me. And I know that in my bones, that Jesus loved me enough to go to the cross for me, not just for everybody. He did do that. But that I know that my life has meaning because God suffered for me, and I owe him something in return. I have to lose my life so that I can find it ultimately in him." Many of you know that this is my last weekend celebrating Mass at Newman. Some of you are caught in this weird mix. Sorry for that. It makes me sad to say that because you all have been so good to me, and I want to get three things off my chest. First, how dare you? No, I'm just kidding. First, I just want to say I'm sorry for a lot. I'm incredibly aware that I'm not Jesus and that I have loved you so imperfectly in these past 3 years. So I really am sorry if I was ever too short or impatient with you, if I didn't give you the time of day. And if you received that poorly, I'm really sorry. If I ever disappointed or hurt you by what I said or by what I didn't say, what I did or what I didn't do, I am sorry. If I was acting selfishly or just avoiding the hard things in my own life or in your life, I'm really sorry that I did that to you, and I ask for your forgiveness. And I hope that my service here, being with you in these years, hasn't tainted your view of the priesthood or of priests. We're from the same stock as you all, sons of Adam and Eve, born from families like yours, so if I have hurt you or offended you in any way, just know of my profound sorrow, and I confess that to God every single day about my own weakness and my inability to love as Christ loves. Next, I just want to say thank you for so many memories, so many great times. It was in Colombia that I realized that I was getting old. Harrison Meavis hit a 62-yard field goal to beat Kansas State as time was winding down. It was gorgeous. And all the fans, the students rushed the field, and I sat in the bleachers and I thought, that looks dangerous. That's when I knew. Midlife crisis is approaching. Thank you for your faith, which helps and supports me. You all don't get to experience this, but as a priest, I go to different places and I celebrate Mass. And there's sometimes where I go to places And it's just like really discouraging because the people don't have faith. You can't tell them that. That would be awkward. But it just feels like a valley of dry bones. It's like, where's the Holy Spirit here? But I remember when I told friends after my first weekend celebrating masses here, I said, these people have faith. Like, the Holy Spirit's alive and working. It's such a blessing to be able to celebrate mass with people who pray and people who know the Lord and people who are willing to lose their lives to be able to find it in Christ. So thank you for your faith. Thank you for believing in the mission to our college students. Newman exists because we're on the campus of the University of Missouri, and there's such an opportunity in our college students who are growing into their own adult life, their adult faith, and it's been an awesome journey for me to walk alongside so many of them. And finally, thank you for loving me so well and sharing that with me, and for showing me your love in so many myriad ways. And then finally, I want to tell you how sincerely I love you. Newman has been a profound gift in my life, one that I couldn't have anticipated. You all exhaust me. You demand a lot from me. You have questions that I don't have answers to, and you want my time more than there are hours in a day. In other words, you make me feel very much like a dad. And I always wanted to be a priest, but you all call me father, and you've made me feel that in a way that you call me out of myself for service. And it's a great gift for me to be able to lay down my life, as it were, in service to you, to be able to celebrate the sacraments, to raise Lazarus from the dead in the sacrament of confession, to be able to celebrate Mass with you all, to get to preach to you all, and to know your stories. You all come to Mass, and you don't really know each other, but I look out, and I see the amazing things that are maybe happening in your life, or some of the really difficult things that you're carrying, and I get to raise all of that up to the Father and say, Lord, you need to provide mercy here because I can't, I don't have the power, but you do. And it's such a gift. I love you all so much. I get to hear many hours of confessions, yes, to spiritual direction, all the things. And I never would have chosen this life for myself. Like, I never wanted to be a priest, but it's God's idea. It wasn't my idea. And this isn't a vocations pitch, but I know the Lord is calling so many young men to follow after him in the priesthood. And praise God that there would be many young men to respond to the call of Jesus to be a priest, because it's an amazing life and God works in mysterious ways. So as you and I continue on our Christian journey, wherever it takes us, I don't want to just hold on to my life and grasp it. Like, I don't want that for myself and I don't want that for you. But to actually heed the words of Jesus in the gospel, that whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Let us lay down our lives in imitation of Jesus. Newman, I'm sorry for all my failures. Thank you so much for the blessing of your presence, your prayers. I love you so much. I'm going to miss you a lot.